Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
Welcome to People Power and Politics. I am your host, Pearl Phillip. Our guest today is the Revolution Now man, Mr. Carl Dix. Welcome. Good to have you, sir.
Thank you for having me on again, Pearl.
You're so very welcome. It's our pleasure and our honor. So before we dive in, can you introduce yourself and tell us who is Carl Dix, the Revolution Man?
Okay, well, Carl Dix is somebody who has spent his adult life fighting for revolution, fighting for getting rid of the system of imperialism and the exploitation and oppression that it inflicts on people all around the world. And I've done that right here in the belly of the imperialist beast, because the U.S. has its tentacles throughout the world, Central and South America, the Caribbean, Africa, Asia, you name a place, and one of the 700 military bases the U.S. has around the world is either in or near that country. And this is something that we have to get rid of. We have to stop a situation where the U.S. and a few other dominant imperialists dominate and rule the whole world. That's what I've been putting my life into. It began when I refused orders to go to Vietnam in 1970. I was part of the largest mass refusal of U.S. soldiers of orders to go to the Vietnam War. They sent me to Leavenworth Military Penitentiary, and I came out of the penitentiary looking for the revolution and hooked up with it in the early 70s, and I've been on that path ever since. I was involved in starting the Stop Mass Incarceration Network with Cornel West back in 2011. Before that, I co-founded the October 22nd Coalition to Stop Police Brutality, and I've been out on the front lines fighting against the attacks that the system brings down, and bringing to people the message that things don't have to be this way, that through revolution we can bring a totally different and far better system into existence. And I'm a follower of Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, the leader of a movement for an actual revolution in this country, and the architect of the new communism, a system of a framework for human emancipation around the world.
Yes, I was going to ask you to expand on that a bit, to give a clearer, you know, view of what that's about. What you just mentioned, sir.
Okay, well, this is actually important to talk about, because it's actually the case that there's going to be an interview with Bob Avakian appearing in the next upcoming episodes of the Revolution Nothing Less show. That's a YouTube show on the RevComs channel on YouTube. Bob Avakian is the leader of this movement for an actual revolution, and through applying a scientific method and approach, he has not only determined that revolution and nothing less is what's needed to end exploitation and oppression, but developed a way to do that, to carry it out, a roadmap for making revolution in a country like this, and also a framework for making revolution around the world, a framework which we call the new communism that is being taken up in other parts of the world in addition to here. There's a party in Iran right now in the midst of that upheaval there. Communist Party of Iran, Marxist-Leninist Maoist, has taken up the new communism. There's an organization in Mexico, Organization of Communist Revolutionaries, OCR, has taken up the new communism. And on November 3rd, 10th, and 17th, this interview with Bob Avakian, where he gets into what is the new communism, why did he develop it, how did he develop it, and who is he, where did he come from, because he came out of the radical movements in Berkeley, California, the free speech movement, the anti-war movement. But in digging into that, he was getting into a why does the U.S. get involved in these wars around the world? Why is it that in this country that calls itself the fountainhead of freedom, students in Berkeley, California were being told that they could not support the civil rights movement on campus, which is what sparked the free speech movement back in the 1960s. And that led him to develop an understanding of this as a system, an exploitative and oppressive system. And to get to the point of revolution is what we need to get rid of it. And he's been on that path. Actually, he's been on it a little longer than I have. He's got a few years on me, but he ain't slowing down, so, and I ain't either.
Okay, good for you. So that's November the 3rd, 10th, 17th, and on YouTube.com on the Rev.
The RevComs channel. Oh. And here in New York, we're going to do a in-person showing on November 3rd of the first part of that interview. That's going to be at 8 p.m. at Revolution Books in Harlem. That's 437 Malcolm X Boulevard at 132nd Street. And look, if you wonder if we have to continue putting up with the way in which people are driven from their homelands by the wars for empire that this imperialist monster carries out, or by the changes in the climate that are making it impossible for people to survive in their homelands. If you wonder why is it that people come here in search of work and survival and get treated like they're criminals or subhuman beings, well, this revolution gets into it, and Bob Avakian is going to get into it in this interview. So November 3rd, 10th, and 17th, and on the 3rd, and that's on YouTube all of those times, so you can watch it online. But on the 3rd, we're going to gather revolutionary-minded people up in Harlem at Revolution Books, 437 Malcolm X Boulevard at 132nd Street. Watch this interview, talk about what we've seen, and then talk about spreading the message, because that's the point. People who see these horrors have to not just grouse about it, you know, talk about how bad it is. Get in the game. Get involved in the revolution to actually deal with it. I know they tell us, well, vote for the Democrats and they will take care of it. But the Democrats have no answer to the fascist onslaught that Trump and the Republicans are bringing down. They want to get us involved in bourgeois electoral BS. We have to actually not fall for that.
You know, since you mentioned that we have critical elections coming up on November the 8th, are Democrats growing anxious again about the black vote? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, see, this is something that happens every 4 years for the presidential election and then the 2 years in between for the midterm elections. And it is always coming around for the vote without actually taking stands to deal with the issues that come down on so many black people, so many Latinos, and other oppressed and exploited people. Look, right now you have the Republicans, wherever they have the capability to do it, trying to take back the black vote. In Florida, they were going around and arresting people and doing it on TV, having video cameras there so they could put it on TV. All of the people they arrested were black. They were people who had been in prison, who got their rights to vote back by a constitutional referendum in Florida. But then the legislature undercut that. So they got their voter cards and all like this. They went and voted. The legislature said, oh, that's not legitimate. They had to pay fines first. And then they wouldn't let them pay the fines because they came up with the money fine. They wouldn't let them pay them. So they said, you people violated the law by voting. And they arrested them on TV. Now these people are fighting to not go back to jail for the crime of having voted after being told they could vote. Okay. And then here's the other thing about Florida. Florida is a place where there were white Trump supporters who were voting twice. You know, they'd vote in one place, vote in another. One guy voted his dead father's absentee ballot. And he said, well, I know my father would have wanted me to vote for Trump, wanted to vote for Trump, so I'm going to do it for him. In other words, people who were consciously breaking the law, knew it, got caught. None of them went to jail. None of them got publicly arrested. They all got
the difference in the color of the skin.
Exactly. So that's what's going on. And then you have the Democrats saying, oh, this is horrible. But what are they doing about it? What are they doing about police brutalizing and murdering black people? And to expand it a little, the Democrats are now like outraged that the Republicans have taken away the right to choose to have an abortion. And they say, vote for us. We'll defend your abortion rights. What they don't deal with, though, is that the Democrats had opportunities to make Roe versus Wade the law of the land.
Codify it into law.
Codify it, yes. They, at one point, they could have done that, whether the Republicans all opposed it or not, because they had more than 60 Democratic senators and a majority in the House of Representatives in the Obama years. They never did that. Now they're coming around to you and saying, vote for me to defend your right to abortion. They always want to get us caught up in that. We have to actually see that our power rests outside of the electoral arena. And in saying this, I'm not telling people don't go out to vote. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you go out to vote, don't vote for none of them Republicans, you know, because they're all like the Republicans are a fascist party. And they tried a fascist coup on January 6th that didn't quite work. Now they're trying to pull a coup off through changing the way the system works so that they can have their people overturn the votes if the numbers don't go right, which they tried last time, but they weren't quite ready to do that. Well, they're trying to do it this time. So that's a fascist party. It has nothing good for us, but the Democrats have no answer. We actually need a movement for an actual revolution. That's something that this movement is working on. That's what I'm involved in. That's what Bob Avakian is the leader of. And again, he's going to talk about this in those interviews that I mentioned, November 3rd, 10th, and the 17th. Okay. People really need to check those out.
Okay, so we mentioned the Republicans and the Latinos, Hispanics briefly. Are they now, you know, there seems to be a shift towards the Republicans. Are they falling for the Republicans' carrot sticks?
Well, unfortunately, too many of them are. One thing we do have to say and take note of when we talk about Latinos, Hispanics, and the Republicans, Latinos aren't one solid block of people. You have people who came from Cuba running from the revolution there. You have people who have come from Venezuela and a few other places where there have been progressive governments. And those people actually like a lot of what Trump says. Now, you've got other people who get sucked into this on various things, because one thing to take note of is there's been a rise in the votes among black men for Trump. And what this comes down to is that too many of our brothers are falling for the woman-hating stuff that Trump puts out there. Kanye West is a prime example of it. I like that tiger energy. Well, that tiger energy is like slapping women back in their place and also slapping black and brown people back in their place. Now, too many of these black and brown men don't quite understand it that way. It's kind of like, well, I'm getting back in my place. I should be the master of my house. Your house does not need a master. It needs equality between men and women, working together to meet the needs of our families and our communities, not one part of the community rising over another and pushing it back down. So we need to actually see that. And people really need to look at the bigger picture, you know, because they're trying to get you to say, well, there's inflation. That must be the Democrats' fault. I should vote for the Republicans. While the Republicans are actually saying they call it twilight Social Security every 5 years, by which they mean every 5 years Social Security will go out of existence and have to be voted back in. Now, why do you think they want to do that? They have opposed actually Social Security from the very beginning, back in when it started in the 1930s, when it expanded in the 1960s. The Republicans were hardcore opponents of that, tried to stop it each time. What they found, though, was that once people got Social Security, they were like, this ain't bad. Let's improve it, but let's not get rid of it. Well, now, and so they realize, well, we can't come up and say, let's get rid of Social Security. Now they're saying, well, we want to vote it back in every 5 years, but once they get it out, what will they do then? Then they'll be able to do what they've actually always wanted to do, which is get rid of Social Security. People need to be looking at things like that, looking at the bigger picture and not falling for the okey-doke that some Republicans are running out there.
And, you know, speaking about the bigger picture, Mr. Dix, who has the power right now? Are we facing Armageddon? Because we seem to be like rats in a maze. What should we really be concerned about right now?
Yes, you're actually pulling the lens all the way back, looking at the world, which is important because the revolution that I'm a part of is an internationalist one. It's not just a question of, well, what's best for people in America, because then that can pull you towards, well, if the U.S. plunders people in Africa or people in the Caribbean or people in South America, hey, that's good for me. Maybe they'll share that plunder with me. Well, they won't. But even above and beyond that, they shouldn't be allowed to plunder anywhere. And when you look at what's going on in the world right now, and this is something, again, that Avakian will talk about in his interview, we have the rivalry between these imperialist powers that's dragging the world towards war. And right now, Russia invaded the Ukraine, but that was part of rivalry between the U.S. and its empire and Russia, and that provoked the war. The Ukrainians are the victims in that, but they're being used as cannon fodder to advance the U.S. interest. The U.S. is supplying weapons and all like that. And
it's become a proxy war.
Yeah, it's a proxy war. They have actually said, our goal in this war, this is the U.S. Defense Administration talking about this, our goal in this war is to weaken the Russians. They didn't say our goal in this war is to stop the invasion, get the Ukrainians their right to run their own country back. We're going to weaken the Russians. And when you have those two powerful imperialist countries fighting each other, you have the possibility of it going beyond a war in Ukraine, especially if one side or the other starts losing. And right now, Russia is having some trouble over there. And what are they saying? We're going to bring everything into it, including maybe nuclear weapons. When they start playing that nuclear chicken, you know, who's going to back down first? If neither side backs down, then the world is in trouble. And again, Avakian gets into this in depth in that interview. I've like touched on some of it. We have to look at these things, look at what's happening, and say, where does the interest of humanity lie? And the interest of humanity lies with neither of these imperialists, whether it's the U.S. versus Russia, or whether it's the U.S. and China haggling over Taiwan. That's not something that is in the interest of the people of the world. These wars need to stop, and what it will take to do that is a revolution in these imperialist countries that takes the power away from them to dominate much of the world.
I'm glad that you touched on the humanity because, you know, there's the war in Ukraine, Russia and Ukraine, but we see the side effects in Africa.
Yes.
Because Africa is not getting the help, the aid that it needs. In Somalia right now, there's hunger, there's famine. People are dying as we speak. You know, there is such a need and it's been ignored because the focus is just on what's happening in Ukraine with, you know, with Russia.
Yes, and it's very important that people in this country look beyond this country. You know, because you could say, well, what's Africa to me? Especially if I'm not of African descent. Well, do you have a cell phone? If you do have a cell phone, there are children in the Congo right now who are laboring to bring minerals out of the mines in very unsafe conditions so that the coltan that is crucial to the operation of your cell phone is available. Other minerals come from other parts of Africa, Southern Africa, different things like that. So there are people, I mean, like little children, 8, 9 years old, are spending what should be their youth doing backbreaking labor in conditions where their lives are on the line and could be lost and are too often lost, to see to it that the minerals that are needed for various, you know, technological developments that you think of as, well, this is an American technological development, but the at the bottom of it are children in the Congo, and you can trace almost everything out. You take the clothes you wear, look at the label. Where were they made? Under what conditions? A lot of the clothes were made in South Asia, and there's been a number of cases where factories caught on fire, and the women, because it's mostly women doing this work, were locked in the factories and burned to death. This is a global process that has got us all bound up together, and it's like when you're in the boat together, you got to save everybody.
We are all connected.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You got to actually work for emancipation on a global level. And that's an important factor in the new communism that Babovakian has developed. He has looked at previous revolutions that were, you know, like the Soviet Union and China, where very important things were done. Big changes were made. You know, in Russia before the revolution, the people who were doing the farming labor were virtually slaves. They were called serfs. They weren't quite owned, but they could not leave. They were more like the sharecroppers that black people were in the southeastern U.S. You were always in debt to the guy who owned the farm. You could never leave. The revolution there ended that. The revolution in China occurred in a situation where in the major Chinese cities there were signs that said no dogs and Chinese allowed in the parks and hotels and luxury places. And the revolution ended that. So many major things were done, but they didn't go far enough. And one thing that held them all back is they were looking at revolution too much as a national phenomenon. Revolution is happening here in China, and it's a Chinese thing. He said, no, you got to look at the world and make revolution from an internationalist perspective, with the whole world coming first.
All right. So thank you so much, Mr. Dix. You know, you're brilliant as usual, for sharing your insightful knowledge. And we look forward to having you back here again with us on People, Power, and Politics.
Well, I look forward to coming back, and I look forward to hearing from some of your audience that watches these interviews that are going to be shown on YouTube with the revolutionary leader Babovakian November 3rd, 10th, and the 17th, 8 p.m. each day. And if you're here in New York, because you may have an audience well beyond New York City, if you're here in New York, we're going to do an in-person showing at Revolution Books, 437 Malcolm X Boulevard, at 132nd Street at 8 p.m. November 3rd.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
People, Power, and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People, Power, and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.